Welcome to Gutted, weekly stories of reclaiming your instinct with me, your host, Allie Stark. In my work as a life coach, I've listened to countless clients talk about feeling stuck in their lives. Upon deeper investigation, the root cause of these feelings is almost always a betrayal of self. This podcast explores why we, as human beings, continue to ignore our gut instincts over and over again. I've invited people from all over the world to share stories of when they've lost touch with their intuition and how they found their way back home. This project is about vulnerability and learning from mistakes in order to empower each and every one of us to step more boldly into our true selves. Thanks so much for listening. This week on episode 36 of Gutted, I interview Ricky Fishman, a San Francisco-based chiropractor since 1987, as well as a professor of humanities at both the New College of California and the California Institute of Integral Studies. In our conversation, Ricky and I discuss the many facets that make up one's health: individual, cultural, global, ecological, and environmental. Ricky shares how he dropped out of law school to become a punk rock musician and eventually a chiropractor. We explore the importance of how creativity and creative expression support humans in getting out of their own egoic ways. On this week's episode of Gutted, I am delighted to be welcoming an old friend and colleague, Dr. Ricky Fishman. And Ricky Fishman has been a San Francisco-based chiropractor since 1987. And in addition to treating patients, he has also been a professor of humanities at both the New College of California and the California Institute of Integral Studies, focusing on the history and philosophy of science and medicine. Ricky, thanks for being with me.
So glad to be here with you, Allie.
This is our take two, so we know it's going to be really good.
A lot of pressure.
No pressure. There's no pressure. I'm remembering, though, so for the audience, this is Ricky and I's second recording, which is always nice because it just turns out better. And I'm remembering how I had introduced how I knew you was that I attended the California Institute of Integral Studies. That's where I received my master's degree. And you were coming in to be a guest instructor, a guest lecturer for, I still don't remember the name of the course. What was the course?
I think it was complementary and integrative medicine.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. And it was this really kind of incredible course where each week we would have a guest lecturer who was an expert practitioner in their field. So a naturopath, an acupuncturist, you as the chiropractor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you would come in and teach your philosophy and the work that you do and your story. And I remembered loving you because you were wearing like pleather pants. And I was like, who is this guy? Who is this New York Jewish doctor wearing leather pants?
It seemed appropriate for the occasion.
Honestly, I remember having a feeling towards you or about you rather than remembering any of the content that you shared. And the feeling was, this man is someone who's like really planted on this earth, which I think is something I struggle with a lot in the world of health and wellness, as I think many of the healers live up in the clouds. And there was like a direct, no bullshit approach about how you came off. And I think that's what I was really drawn to.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I enjoyed coming into that class. And in fact, I think the next year I took over that class. I became the teacher of the course from Meg Jordan, who's the head of the program and teaching it at that time. And so then I was the one who was inviting in different practitioners. I did that for, I think, about 2 years, 2 or 3 years after that.
So what I'm hearing from that is leather pants are the appropriate attire for a job interview.
I think that's right. I made some kind of impression, but at any rate, I did get the gig and I didn't even really know I was auditioning for it.
So when I was in school, it was maybe 5 or 6, I can never remember, but it was around 5 or 6 years ago. So I met you then and you and I have just had really sweet touchstones in one another's life since then. And I'm really excited for you to share with the audience a current platform that you just launched called Condition. And tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, I will. So the name of the site health news and information website, and it's called Condition with the subtitle Health News That Matters. And this is a project that I've been working on for about a year and a half. And it came out of my initial desire to write a book. I've been in practice now for over 30 years. And in addition to practice, as you said, I've been teaching. The way I've constructed my work life, I've worked in both the sort of private health world, public health at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, occupational medicine, which is sort of a funny hybrid. Anyway, I have pretty broad and deep experience in healthcare. And I thought, okay, well, now it's my time to describe what I know and what I've learned and, you know, sort of construct my perspective, just put it together and give it to the public and do with it what they might. So as I thought about that, I looked around. I have a lot of friends who have written books. Now I have friends who are sort of full-on serious authors who get publishing deals and they get advances and all that. But the majority of people now, because it's easy to sort of write a book and self-publish, they go and do that. So I said, okay, well, I can spend a year, write a book. And then at the end of that year, maybe 20 or 25 of my best friends and relatives might buy that book. And then I'm going to have a shelf of books. Or I could, it's also possible that I could go on and become the next
Dr. Oz
or, you know, Deepak Chopra. But the odds are more along the lines of, okay, I'll have these books. So at any rate, as I thought about that, I started thinking about where I gather my information from. And I realized that I get a lot of my information from different types of websites, such as the New York Times Online, the Washington Post, Democracy Now!, Real News. And I realized that I really enjoy those sites. And the reasons I enjoy them, because I get a multiplicity of perspectives. You know, there's written word, there's audio, there's video. And I realized, actually, that's what I want to do. And I feel like that would be more expressive of what it is that I'm trying to put out into the world. And so I set out to create a site like that. And that's what Condition Health News is. It actually serves multiple purposes. One is that through my career, I've managed to, been lucky enough to become acquainted with these great practitioners. And this is an opportunity for me to gather their information, to get their stories, to get their perspectives, and to put it up there on the site. And so I have this one section of the site is called Perspectives, and it's where I'm reaching out to different people I know, and they're writing for me. There's another section, which is book and product reviews, where I'm looking at what is the best new stuff coming out, both in terms of, say, ergonomic equipment, chairs, or books that are relevant. Then it's also a place where I host my blog that I've been keeping for about 4 or 5 years called Ricky's Riffs. And so it becomes a platform for my work. And then I'm also curating from different sites. And so I'm getting information that I think is really valuable, whether it's Vox or the New York Times or the Guardian or lots of different sites, and put that up there. And so actually it's also, it has my Twitter feed, which I can then post on a daily or sometimes hourly basis, things that are coming in. And it's also going to host the podcast that I will be starting to do very soon. That, Ali, actually, you've helped me along with that a little bit. And so what this is a place for me to actually put all of these different pieces together. And I realize that it actually really is much more reflective of my perspective than a single book would be, at least at this point. But there's another purpose behind it. It's interesting because some of this stuff did not even I didn't realize it's been unfolding as I've been doing it, which is that it's a place for me to research. So all of these people, all these great healers, they're telling their stories. And so I'm gathering all that information. And I believe that out of this platform, a book will arise, except when I then write the book, instead of it being 20 or 25 of my best friends and relatives to buy the book, then hopefully through this platform, I will have attained a following.
125.
Maybe 125,000 people will know me. And then they might want to buy the book after they become familiar with what it is I've been doing through the Condition site. And so it's been a really fantastic project. I just launched it about 2 weeks ago. I'm getting really positive response. And if anybody wants to check it out, of course, it's at www.conditionhealthnews.com.
It's so sweet to see you so excited. I feel like launching a new project out, and especially an internet project out into the world, is like there's so much time and energy and effort and resources that go into it. And then you launch it and you kind of don't, it's like kind of nothing happens. I mean, it's like all this energy and effort. I mean, I know when I sort of rebranded myself and launched the website, it was like, what I should be doing is having this big celebratory party. And instead it like went out and it felt a little bit like cricket. So I want to say that I just celebrate your excitement and enthusiasm for it. And I also have deep respect for, I think one of the hardest things as any human being looking to gather the appropriate information for their own health and well-being is that there is an overwhelming amount of information that you can find online that can oftentimes lead you down a rabbit hole. And it's coming from a multitude of sources, some that you trust, some that you don't know if you can trust. And so I think like to have you as this master curator of the information and me knowing you and trusting your opinion and perspective and especially, you know, medical perspective, it just feels really exciting. And I know you also draw on, you know, you're quite political. So I know you draw on those pieces as well.
Yes. Well, I see health in a very broad way. I see it in terms of individual health, familial health, social health, cultural health, global health, ecological, environmental, all of those things are connected. And so I think that my perspective is a little bit of a unique one. I find that most people are focusing on their particular discipline. Okay, I'm a chiropractor, so I'm just going to look at just, you know, ergonomics and posture. And while, of course, that is a big piece of what I'm interested in, it's just a piece. And I think one of my goals has been to really broaden people's ideas about what health is and to put it in a much greater context. And that's what I'm trying to do. And that's why this format, this site, really is enabling me to do that. And bringing in all these different voices really helps. And because I consider myself to be an integrative practitioner, so I'm working with a lot of different types of disciplines. But in order for me to really project that out into the world, having a site like this actually, it sort of, it presents it as an integrative thing itself.
It validates who you are, totally sort of supports that perspective that you have in the world.
Yeah, and it's an embodiment of my perspective. And I realized right now, to start, I didn't want to do that individually. I wanted to do that collectively. And that's one of the things that led to the birth of this project. And also from a pragmatic standpoint, because people always, they ask me, well, first of all, you know, what's the ROI? Where's the, you know, you know, where's that return on investment? Where, you know, where's the advertising going to go? And, you know, what I realized, it's like, well, I don't care about the ROI. I'm not thinking about that. All I'm thinking about is expressing this thing that needs to be expressed. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what comes from it. But, you know, in terms of sort of the marketing of it and getting the word out, also what I realize is that if I have, because what I'm seeing is that just as you're seeing, I'm sure, Ali, that people want to get recorded, they want to have their stories told.
Yes.
People want to tell their stories. And what that means is that every person who is contributing a piece to my site, they are invested in getting that out also. And so it multiplies my reach by every single person who comes in and contributes, whether it's on the podcast that will be coming or all these other articles, that it's a great way to really get spread the word very quickly through everyone who's contributing. And right now it looks like about 90% of the material on the site is original content, which I'm really, really happy with. And people are just stepping up and want to give.
I mean, people want to give because you're easy to help support and give to. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, thank you for that.
I was thinking as you were talking, the idea of how we all contain multitudes, but we don't necessarily live within the context of an infrastructure that supports the multitudes that we contain, right? So when you go in with you and I can riff on health, which is fun, but when you go in with a condition, all pun intended, to see a doctor, the doctor's, you know, very focused on that particular, most doctors are very focused on that particular condition and how their field of study or area of expertise can support that particular condition. But as I think you and I are more minded, is it's that your symptomology is just like the tip of the iceberg of an entire plethora of other things that are going on. And so, you know, not only is there an interest in the symptom, but what are all the multitude of things that are potentially leading to that? And the multitude of supports, or I like to, you know, help someone build their healthcare team, because I think that we need many people and many perspectives because we are many people inside of one body.
Yes, that is well put. I mean, I think that we've been trained in our culture to just really focus on symptoms, which is a very reductionistic way of seeing things, because that symptom is just the singular result of a buildup of many different things. Generally, I mean, look, there are times when you have a bacterial infection and you need an antibiotic.
Of course, of course.
However, so many symptoms, especially when we're looking at chronic conditions that plague so much of the population, you need to look broadly, you need to look expansively to the different things, from food to exercise to your stress level, your lifestyle. Are you living the life you want to live? I mean, I think that people not living meaningfully, and we all, I think, know when we are and when we're not. And when we're not, it's deeply stressful on an unconscious level. And that just eats away. I see health in very energetic terms, even though my work is, I'm a structure guy and people come to see me and they're having pain because they're sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours a day, or they work on a beer delivery truck and they're hauling, kegs of beer, all day long. And so I want to address those things. However, there's really a whole lot else going on that I think that people really need to look at. And if we don't address those other components, then, when we're not living in tune with who we truly are, then I believe that on an energetic level, there's actually a friction that takes place. And as you know, Ali, I'm really not a new agey kind of guy. However, I do believe in physics and energy. And I think that there's so much more going on at a much deeper level than we're necessarily aware of. And I can change somebody's workstation. I can tell them the right ergonomic chair to get and a sit-stand desk. But if they hate that job, it won't matter, because they're going to be suffering at a much deeper level. So we have to look at the structure. We have to look at the chemistry. We have to look at the energetics. We have, all these things play in. And so the more we can express that as an approach to healing, I think the more deeply we will be healed.
Yeah, this is why you and I are friends, because we're very aligned in this. I mean, I think as I sell myself, for lack of a better word, to prospective new clients, right? As I kind of give them the spiel, I'm really sort of narrowing down what I say to, like, the thesis of my work is that I support clients in reclaiming parts of themselves that have gotten lost along the way and reorienting them back to their fullest version of themselves, which will include losing and letting go of certain things in order to gain that which matters most.
Well, I think it's an excellent mission statement and a noble mission.
And it's hard. I'm aware that it's not easy. It's not easy work for individuals to do, because I think we don't have the communal support in doing it, right? It's like, I'm sure when you're asked what you do for a living, yes, of course, you're a chiropractor, but you're many, many things, and you're a man that wears many hats. And so oftentimes answering like that feels quite narrowing.
Yes.
But we just don't know how to wrap our heads. It's like, I think that's why we like to say, are you gay? Or are you straight? Or are you black? Or are you white? It's like, as long as we can put people into a box, then it feels okay for it. It's safe.
Yeah. I mean, I feel really fortunate, because I figured out early on in my work career, probably in my 20s, that the way that work was structured, the way we were told that we had to work in our society, just did not make sense to me. This idea of working 40 hours plus in one office doing the same thing, even if it's something that you like doing, it was too confining for me. And I think that came from going to visit my father's office. My father was a garment, he was a material salesman. He was in the schmata business, as they say, back in the And I realized that I was able to work like one summer at his workplace. And then it's like, this is really bad, so confining. So then I figured out what was much more appropriate for me to do. And this was in Manhattan. That's where I was growing up, in New York City. I became a bicycle messenger. And so that was so freeing. And so I would just walk. I was foot messenger, then a bike messenger. I would just walk around the city, ride around the city. And that was the kind of work that I wanted to do. And it was a little bit hazardous, of course, but it was so much fun. And I realized that feeling of freedom, as opposed to being stuck in that office, especially riding up in elevators filled with people, especially in the summer times in New York, everyone's wearing these suits and ties. And it's 95 degrees out. It seemed truly insane. It was like a type of madness. And so as I moved into figuring out my career for myself, even as I discovered that chiropractic was the way for me to go, there was no way I was just going to work in one office all the time. It was too isolating and it was too confining, again, in terms also of my interests. And so I was able to construct a career where I work 3 days in my office in San Francisco doing a certain type of chiropractic work. And then I'm working 2 mornings a week in an occupational medicine clinic, working as part of an integrative medical team, working with people who are hurt on the job. Then I have all this other time free where I can do my writing. I'm a musician, and so where I can be practicing. And so I needed to really confront the way that I was told most people had to work and construct something different than what was really being on offer. And even now at this point, I mean, if I was working like 40, 50, 60 hours a week in office, I couldn't create this website. I couldn't be doing all the things that I've been doing. And so it both works on sort of in terms of my personality, and I actually get to enjoy my life in a much deeper way because I'm able to express the different parts of myself within one limited life.
I love the way that you just said that. I'm just sort of sitting with that, able to express all the different parts of yourself within one limited life. How beautiful.
Well, That's how I feel.
So let's use sort of what you were talking about, because you have kind of a fun story of sort of what led you into chiropractic work. And you grew up in Manhattan, right?
I grew up in Queens.
Queens. Okay. You grew up in Queens. You grew up with a brother, I remember. And just tell me, there was some kind of fun historical stuff and then sort of what led you into both the law profession, albeit briefly, and music and stuff. And I'd love to hear that a little bit.
So I grew up in Queens in an apartment building. I mean, it was very Woody Allen-esque, actually, although Woody Allen, in his telling of his childhood from Annie Hall, he grew up underneath the roller coaster, whereas my window looked out onto the freeway. I mean, it was right there. And so I remember moving to this place, to this apartment, when I was in fourth grade from one part of Queens to another. And I asked my mother, I said, well, like, why move here? I mean, it was crazy. It was so noisy. She said, no, just shut the shades. And it sounds like the ocean. The traffic sounds like the ocean. And so it was actually very soothing. So I learned that I was able to convert this irritant into something soothing. And my family system was very good that way because we didn't have much money. I mean, we were, you know, sort of, you know, working class, lower middle class, whatever that was. It was fine. But back then it was easier to have a good life without making that much money. But my family structure also, you know, coming from a New York Jewish family, it was a little bit constraining in terms of what were your options, what are the things that you can do. And so education, of course, was very important, although neither one of my parents went to college. Actually, my mother did not finish high school. And so it wasn't like I was living in a world of lawyers and doctors. My building that I grew up in was filled with taxi drivers, mailmen, an occasional high school teacher. And the rabbi lived in my building also. So anyway, it wasn't, you know, higher class operation. There were no doormen. It was like that. So after I graduated college and I'm thinking what to do, I moved out to San Francisco and okay, well, now I'm 21 years old. I better get this together. I better figure out what to do. And so I figured, oh, well, I'm not really sure. I mean, I graduated with a teaching degree. I studied liberal arts. I guess I can be a lawyer, because that was a very easy pathway, because the pathways were lawyer, doctor, accountant.
That was presented.
That's all that was really presented. And so I figured, okay, so I went to law school. So I went for a year to law school, and then I did fine. But I realized at the end of that year that if I continued down this pathway, the odds are that I would probably have to be a lawyer. And I mean, not necessarily, but probably. And so I realized that I need to get out of this thing because especially being in law school, since I didn't come from a family of lawyers and really didn't even know any lawyers growing up, But the idea of lawyers seemed like a respectable one. They made decent money, and Jews became lawyers, and so I was one of those.
Well, and I have to say, I don't mean to interrupt here, but in my current present day, I hate saying this, but any lawyer that I know, I think I know many lawyers. I think 95% of them hate their job.
I'd say that's true.
Like, there is the 5%, and mm-hmm. I can think of one person that I know. But generally speaking, there is a lot of dislike for that profession. And I really think that a lot of it stems from it's a very much fear-bred profession. It is like kind of all about sort of fearing and rules and boundaries, et cetera. It's the law.
Yes. And also what you realize is that your life is all about conflict. You're in conflict. I mean, that's your job. You are embattled with other people. And the thing that was really mind-blowing to me is as I met lawyers and I realized that they were able to go into a courtroom and fight it out. And then after court, go out with the lawyers who were fighting with and have dinner or drinks. And
so
there was
a
certain type of compartmentalization that felt very off to me. And again, getting down to back to that sort of energetic idea of how we work, that to me, compartmentalizing and having these different pieces of my life not be connected, but then somehow force them to connect. It's just very, very stressful. So I picked that up early on. I was young. And so I was really glad. And so I just said, I'm out of here. It caused a little bit of upset with some family, but it was okay. But then I had to think, what is the opposite of being a lawyer? How far can I get from being a lawyer? And that's when I realized this was 1978 to 79, San Francisco. I joined a punk rock opera. So I just became the bass player for this punk rock opera. And then from that spun off into other groups. And I was just playing in the punk rock new wave scene of San Francisco for years. And it was great.
There's something so endearing to me about this space of like, it wasn't just like, okay, I don't want to be a lawyer, so let me think of the other thing that's pseudo aligned with this. It was like, let me find the complete. Oftentimes, I think we need to do the polarities in order to find out what the middle ground is for ourselves.
Exactly.
So anyway, I just love that. And obviously, but right? I would imagine that's where the leather pants were born, Ricky. I hate to keep bringing it back, but it's, you know.
It's possible. As you know, I'm still playing in rock bands now, many, many years later. So I've never quite gotten over that. But I also realized it was sort of an allopathic approach to my life path, like, just doing the opposite, whatever, if there's a bacteria, let's give you an antibiotic. If you're a lawyer, join a punk rock opera. And that seemed the right at the moment. And so I did that. And it was very lucky. I happened to be at the right time and place for this. It was sort of the height of the San Francisco punk rock scene. And it was a lot of fun. However, I also realized that that was not my path. I either didn't have what it really took, or I didn't have the deep commitment to go all the way with that. I didn't believe in my ability to really do that. There was something that was holding me back. Maybe there was some deep, fear of, going over the edge, or I was still tied to sort of a conformist story. I'm just not sure, but I knew that I wasn't going to go all the way with it. And so I started to entertain other ideas. And then when somebody showed up at my house, an old friend of mine grew up in my building in New York, I was in San Francisco, and he showed up and he had just become a chiropractor. And we talked for like days and days. And after just talking, and he was also a hypnotist. He actually hypnotized the entire band before one show, which was a lot of fun as well. But at any rate, he said, I think you should be a chiropractor. And I didn't really know much about what that was. But I looked into it and I realized, wow, this is exactly right. Because it was a place that I could really express myself creatively. It was a place where I could use my hands and my head and my heart. And so it had all the elements. And so I sort of pursued that and then went down that pathway and then ended up with the profession that I'm still in 30 years later.
At this point, I have talked to a lot of people. We're in sort of the 30-something episode of the podcast. And that, generally speaking, people go into the realm of something related to work, or something in the realm related to relationship. I'm thinking if that feels really totally true. There's also quite a few people that I think go into self-identification in terms of intuition, but I think that self-identification is very wrapped up in relationships and work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just the enormity or the amount of people that can relate to that space of feeling like a particular path was laid out, or there wasn't a choice in the path, or it was what should be done or could be done, and not really taking the time to understand like what makes my heart sing, which may be so radically different than what I thought it ever could be or should be or would be. And so I think it's just a very relatable story. And I like the playfulness of how you got there. And that for you, what I'm hearing, especially, and it ties into your new website, Condition, is that your work needed to be representative of how you are on a personality level, which is multiple perspectives. Because I'm even thinking, you know, you work in multiple locations. You get to put your hand, you and I are very similar like this. I get bored easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can have your work be a reflection of like your innermost state, right? Like, how are you the most well? And it's like, you know, getting to engage with different types of people, learning different perspectives, getting to change activities every once in a while. And so I think that's another thing to kind of bring into the equation of oftentimes when you're realigning with that, which is true for you, that your external world will start to mirror back your internal state.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a second to get there, but I got there.
I think also one of the things that I realized at a certain point on this path, on my life path, is that I think the fundamental, most important energy that each of us has access to and that needs to be made a part of what it is that we do is creative energy. I believe all of us, each and every one of us, we are all creative beings because the creative impulse is built into us as deeply as the egoic impulse.
I agree.
I think that we need our egos. And when I'm not a psychologist, and so for me, the sense of ego is that sense of self that enables us to go through the world and survive in the world and work in the world and relate to people. We need to have that. It's a practical and important function of who we are. However, if we only live in that space, if we only live in that egoic space, then I think we become trapped because we're missing something which is much greater. And that thing to which we are all connected is beyond ourselves, that we are embedded in. That's like sort of the cosmic edge. I'm afraid I'm going to slip into new agedness here, but I'm doing the best I can to explain this point of view. So I think that creativity actually is something that was invented or discovered by human beings, whether it's painting or playing music, drumming, dancing, whatever it is. What that does is it frees us from our sense of self. It frees us from that egoic trap that we need to survive, but limits us as human beings. And so we've realized that if we do these things, these are technologies. Music is a technology that both the person who is creating the music and the person who is listening to the music, it enables them to go beyond themselves. When we go beyond themselves, then we're able to connect with people and the world in a much, much broader and deeper way. And so the more that we can incorporate that creative energy, the more that we can bring creativity to what it is that we decide to do, whatever our path is, including the work we do. And one of the things that I also love about chiropractic work is that when I'm in it, I'm really in it, and I'm able to actually use that work as a creative tool to transcend myself. And when that happens, the person who is receiving that care is not only sort of the beneficiary of a physical manipulation, but also the energetic exchange that comes with being with another person in that creative space.
I love what you're saying. So I am strongly in agreement with you that I think we are all creative beings. And I think I find that word almost synonymous with that we are all spiritual beings, right? So I think that you can basically turn any practice into a practice where there is creativity, and you can turn any practice into a practice where there is some form of connecting to sacred spirituality. Not to sound new agey, but that's my belief system. I was thinking about, this is maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, but an old friend was visiting who was very creative, how we would regularly think of creativity, right? You know, it's like filmmaking and directing and writing, and he's an actor performing. And so he and I have, I've known him for many, many years, and he came to visit, and it was in a period of time. I was actually working at the company that you and I had some, which that shall not be named, but the company that I had you come in and give a talk at. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling very, very unsatisfied in the work, like incredibly unsatisfied in the work. And I would walk into this building, I would get a migraine. It was just like really not good. So I was struggling, and you could sense that in me. Like I felt very stuck in that moment. And he asked this question, which was like, what are you working on creatively? Like, what's your creative project right now? And I felt really, honestly, I felt a lot of shame rise up because I was like, my undergraduate is in fine arts and I was a painter and I'm not working on any creative project right now. And what's wrong with me? And I felt really kind of embarrassed and ashamed. And my ex-boyfriend was there at the time, and he kind of stopped and just was like, well, I think that Ali's like one of the most creative thinkers that I know. Like the perspective and how she views the world is constantly in a state of creation. And it was a very sweet thing for him to say, but it actually transformed the way that I viewed myself, right? Which is like, we put creativity so quickly into also a narrow box, like everything else you and I are talking about. That creativity equals you are in an artistic expression, painting, writing, reading, et cetera. And I just think that it's anything. Anything that you do, any way that you operate in the world, if you give yourself permission, you are in creation of something. A thought, an idea, a feeling, a performance, a project, et cetera.
I completely agree with that, which I think that's the art of living, isn't it? Is to really find the creative spirit in whatever it is that we're doing. And the thing is, we have the opportunity to do it every moment of every day. Yeah, there is a certain amount of choice in how we approach things. And I do think that you could even be a creative lawyer.
Of course.
You can be a tax lawyer and be living a fully, you know, creative life. It's really how we approach it. And I think, again, it's when we get freed from the shackles of self. And then when we get into that flow, whatever you want to call it, that's when we're there. And so I think it's easier if we find something that's meaningful for us to pursue, as opposed to as I sort of tried to put on the lawyer hat, you know, that was just
not happening,
not going to work. But as you're saying, I mean, I so completely agree. We can confine this idea of creativity to those, to the arts, but it's really not that. It's about the way that we live, and we can live creatively. And when we are, that's when we're at our most satisfying. And that's when people want to be with us the most. That's when, I mean, that's really what it's about. I think that's the adventure. And what's really sad is for me is when, because I'm at a stage of life when I realize that a lot of friends that I have, we've sort of grown up together, and they made certain choices that were not really who they were. They were not true choices. They were choices that, well, if I do this job, I'll make enough money. I'll be able to retire. I'll be able to buy these things. I'll be able to have a Lexus and all that. And then look, nothing wrong with a Lexus. I wouldn't mind having one myself. But in the end, it's empty. And then when you get to the point where you're 60 years old, 65 years old, and you're thinking about retirement, you realize, wow, I spent my whole life following this path that I was told was going to bring me to a certain place. And I think I was tricked. And it's a depressing place to be. And so I'm seeing that actually with certain peers of mine. And so I think the more that we can sort of stay in touch with that idea that creation and creativity are available to us at every moment, it's up to us to grab it, but we just have to see it.
I feel like that's such a lovely sort of thesis of what we're talking about. Yeah, I am really appreciative of the kind of the different ways and metaphors that you have brought some stuff to light today. And in conclusion of our conversation, I just want to ask if there is any offering, let's call it an offering, that you have to an audience member who is really struggling to align with that which is true for them, or maybe they don't even know what their own truth is. What would you have to say?
I think what I'd recommend is interesting. I heard an interview with someone who spoke to Steve Jobs, spent a lot of time with him, and asked him if there was one thing he would do and he would give up everything else in terms of the things that support his creativity. He said, walking in nature. I think that walking getting out, just breathing the real air, and not just living the life that so many of us are living now through our computer screens and through our devices, moving our bodies, getting out there, and just seeing where your mind takes you, where things take you. Which is why for me, walking is a really big part of my routine. And whenever I walk, I also will bring my handy dandy blank notebook with me, unlined paper, because that's where the ideas come to me. That's where realizations happen. When we're busy, when we're distracted, we lose touch with who we are. And so I would say, get outside, go for a walk. If you want, bring a little notebook and jot down thoughts that come to you, and trust that if you open yourself to the elements, if you open yourself up to the world will reward you for that.
Oh, Ricky, thank you. We're so aligned right now. I was just on this long walk on Saturday and I was like, I should write a blog post on the most uninteresting thing ever, which is that everyone should be walking, right? Like, this is not rocket science, but it's just like the best. It is the best medicine. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does something. It's a key that opens a lock in our brains. And all of a sudden, these things, these ideas, these thoughts are revealed that we wouldn't know were there otherwise. And so everyone needs to get out and walk.
Totally. Well, Ricky, thank you so much for being with me today. And if you are interested in learning more about Ricky Fishman, you can find him through his website. Ricky, I'm sorry, it's conditionhealthnews.com.
It's conditionhealthnews.com. And my chiropractic website is rickyfishman.com. So you find all about how I work. But it's Condition Health News. That's where I'm putting everything right now. And so I would love for people to come and check it out, and feel free to get in touch with me. All my information is on there as well.
Awesome. And you can also find Ricky through social media platforms, which is also Condition Health News. Ricky, thanks so much for being on this week's episode of Gutted.
Thank you, Allie. A pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Gutted with your host, Allie Stark. To learn more about this podcast and be kept up to date with our latest interviews, visit our website, www.gutted.com, or you can find us on Instagram at gutted_stories. See you next week for new insights on how to reclaim your instinct.